Up in a few weeks. You're going to have a great missionary here next Wednesday and a great public servant preaching the Wednesday after that. By the way, I don't know if you caught that young Ohani wants to be he's praying about being a policeman, thinks that's what God wants him to do. Yes. And I looked at him after church. I said, Jose, have anything to do with this? He's like, no. I'm like, it would be a good thing if it was. Like, well, kind of. I'm like, okay, all right. Isaiah chapter 6, look if you would at verse number 1. I'm going to bring a message tonight about experiencing God. Experiencing God. Look if you would at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train. Do not be confused. This is not a locomotive running through the heavenly throne, okay? This is basically his garments and those that followed him, his train, the angels that sing, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, angelic beings. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And I want to be very clear with you, nobody was smoking, nobody was vaping, nobody was lighting anything up. That was the presence of God. That was the presence of God. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. That does not sound very pleasant. I'm thinking a little bit hotter than what Brother Jose Espinoza had to endure last week during that game. For those that don't know, he ate the world's hottest chip, and he paid for it very, very dearly. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hermano Jaime, if you would open us up in a word of prayer. Amen.
Thank you for all the souls that you have seen.
Yes. Yes.
Makes it all worth it. Again, just be with us tonight and purge this place of anything that might be unjust.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. When you read verses 1 and 2 and 3, what you read is you read a supernatural event. And the event is somebody's experiencing the presence of God. And they're seeing things and they're hearing things that they would not see or hear or experience without meeting with the Lord. And I want to point out to you that it's a little bit different than other places in Scripture. Like, I want you to think about the book of Revelation. I was talking with Samantha about that today and her husband, and talking about the book of Revelation. Anybody here, when you first got saved, read the book of Revelation and go, whatever that is, I think I need to get saved again? Anybody? All right. You're not alone. I think her own testimony was, man, I want to make sure I'm saved. I don't want to go through any of that stuff. I want to make sure that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Brother David Spurgeon, who's going to be coming here in a few weeks, his wife Sue got saved by reading Dr. Ruttman's commentary, the word-by-word, verse-by-verse commentary on the book of Revelation. You say, why? It's pretty startling stuff, right? And you know, I mean, you're reading about, you know, demons coming out of the earth, you know, and locusts and, you know, long hair, and they've got teeth of a lion, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget one time we were in a hotel, we were traveling cross country somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And we're having devotions. We do devotions. Y'all do devotions at night. And I thought, well, I'm not home, but I should still do devotions, right? Okay, five of you agree with me. That's good. Maybe start with devotions at home, okay? And then when you go on the road, take God with you. All right, and so because he's there, by the way, and so we're having devotions, and I start teaching through some stuff in Revelation, and my kids at the end are like, "Mommy, we can't sleep." And the wife goes, "What did you do?" You know, but listen, in the book of Revelation, John is it's not just a vision; he is taken up, and he experiences things and sees things. But it's because he has his own kind of personalized rapture. You got people right now paying a lot of money to fly into outer space on a private shuttle. You know what John got? He got exactly that, and he didn't pay anything for it. And John was transported up into the third heaven, and he saw the throne of God, and he saw things up there that others had never seen, and he looked down the earth, and he saw stuff from up there about the future and prophecy, and that was amazing. But listen to me, that was when God transported John from the earth all the way up to glory. That is different than what happens in Isaiah. In Isaiah's not moved physically into outer space. He's not taken up to the third heaven. Look, if you would, again, one more time, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw. He experiences it. You say, what happens? I believe this. I believe that what Isaiah was seeing that day, in that moment, in the year that King Uzziah died, I believe what he saw in that moment was there the whole time. He just couldn't see it because someone else was in the way. The Bible says in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw. You know what I'm talking about? Experiencing God unfiltered. You know what filters are for? They have a place. Filters are great, but let me just tell you this right now. When it comes to God, you want to experience God without any kind of filter. And let me tell you right now, you know what most people do? They experience God through the filter of religion, through education, through their own personal opinion, through what their family says. They experience God through a limited capacity. They put God in a box. You know what that box is? Whatever the filter is that I'm using right now, maybe right now it's my circumstances. Maybe it's other Christians, and I see who God is through them. Let me tell you something. You're supposed to be able to see God through the lives of believers, but we fail at that at times. And if you're looking for a problem with God, you're going to find it with his people because we are not sinless. And I'm telling you right now, you got to be careful the filter that you put on when you want to experience the presence of God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14. I've got a warning for you. Ezekiel gave to the children of Israel several centuries ago. I don't know about you. I want to experience the Lord in his fullness. I don't want to limit God in my life. I don't want to limit him in my home. I don't want to limit him in my marriage. I don't want to limit him in my parenting. I don't want to limit him in my pastoring. I don't want to limit him at work. Listen, I don't want God to be put in a box that I put him in, and I say, okay, God, you stay in. That's what religion does. All right, you know what, God? We'll see you next Sunday. You stay here in the box. I'll come back and visit you. That's not the God of the Bible. And you don't know the Lord. As long as you're seeing him through some kind of filter in your life, you're missing out on who he is. You know what the problem is? Oftentimes, we want to see the kind of God that we want to make in our own minds rather than the God of the Bible. Look at Ezekiel 14. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? You know what he's saying? You are coming to me. You're coming to God, the creator of the universe, and you're coming to me saying, God, what about this? What about this? What about this? And God's in so many words sarcastically saying, should I answer these people? Now you say, what's the problem? Why is God upset here? Look, if you would, at verse 3. The Bible says, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Look at verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his where? And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his what? And cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh. Listen to this. This is important. According to the multitude of his idols. That is a scary promise from God. You know what that means? If you are bent on only seeing God in a certain light and you don't want to know who God really is and you ignore parts of Scripture you don't like and there are certain parts of preaching you just go, well, that I'm not going to listen to that. And you just say, you know what? I want to make my own God up. And yeah, it'll be the God that saved me, but I'm going to imagine him. I'm going to reimagine him the way I want him to be seen in my life. And let me tell you something. Whenever you do that and you ignore who God really is and who God wants to be for you, what you end up doing is God goes, okay, I'm going to back away, and I'm going to let you get the answer that you want. And it will be the wrong answer. That's scary, guys. You know what that means? If you deceive yourself and make yourself think something that is not truth. You know what the Bible says? In him is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If it is not true and you have convinced yourself of whatever that thing is in your life, I'm going to tell you something. You know what that is? That's dangerous. You know what God says? I'll answer you according to that very thing. You say, well, I just want a God of love. He is a God of love. Absolutely a God of love. He's also a God of justice and mercy. I want a God of I want the God that sends thunderbolts on my enemies. Okay, you might get that. You might get some of those thunderbolts yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To look at God and pre-filter him and prefabricate and make up in your mind who God is. How about this? Do you make up God based on your entertainment? Well, God wouldn't have a problem with that. Why do you think God wouldn't have a problem with that? You know, there's some stuff you probably shouldn't watch. Now, don't check out, here's Pastor Dominguez, Fundamentalist 1975, burn your TVs. I didn't say that. What I did say is, some of you think God doesn't have any problem with what you put before your eyes because you have conditioned yourself to think that God's okay with it, and he's not. Right. Because you have imagined who your God is, and it's not God. Right. Now, I'm not saying you're lost. I believe you can be saved and have this very issue. Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I got a filter for you. Some of you may like this, some of you may not like this. I'll give you a very strong filter in 2021. And I'll tell you, it's the reason why some people come to church and you talk about heaven and you talk about the presence of God and they're like, you know why some of that is? Adults in the U.S. are spending 11 plus hours consuming some type of media every day. This is not the rantings of a crazy Baptist preacher. These are data analysts that do this stuff and give you statistics. This is from a report in 2018. Teens spend an average of 9 hours daily online. Parents, do you limit that? You ought to. You want your kid to have a brain when they're your age? Children 8 to 12 spend 6 hours. Some of you got back from summer camp, you're like, can you, preacher? I just got my phone back. Come on, man. You know, children 8 to 12 spend 6 hours online daily. 72% of Americans use some form of social media. 65%, and listen, I'm not saying this is all evil. I just need you to get a hold of where we're at. Because the problem is when you're constantly filtering God through Facebook and what other Christians say on Facebook or what someone says over here, or you're filtering God through whatever images you're constantly pumping in your mind, that's going to affect you. You can't, it doesn't work that way. You cannot constantly put stuff in your head. You know why I know this is a problem? If I went to some of you and said, you should quit whatever, you go, okay. If I went to some of you and said, give up social media for a month, you'd be, why? Why should I do that? If I went to some of you and said, no, listen, I know YouTube has a place. I get it. We put messages on YouTube. But some of you, God bless you, your doctrine has come from YouTube, and you're a soup sandwich. And you don't know if you're coming or going because you listen to this jackwagon over here and this guy over here and this guy believes we get raptured out before the tribulation, this guy in the middle of the tribulation, this guy at the end of the tribulation, and you come to church and you're like, pfft. You know why? Because that's your God. That's how you filter doctrine. Mikhail, I don't mean to pick on you, but it was a beautiful thing. We're outside in the octagon. Remember the octagon? It's not as fierce as it sounds. We were actually out there praying, but it's a little game. They do a little ball thing, whatever. We're out there at summer camp. And she goes, Pastor Reed, I got a question. I don't know. Maybe it's a dumb question. I said, no dumb questions, you know. And she goes, what is doctrine? There's some people twice your age that still have never asked that question. It's a great question. You know what? What's easy to do? To build your idea of who God is by the filters that you select for yourself. 90% of teenagers, 13 to 17, use social media. 71% more than one platform. I'm not saying it's all bad, but you parents, you better understand what it is. You better understand that this is how people's minds are being controlled. Listen, some of you, if I told you, some of you think I'm crazy. There are scientists that have, you know, follow the science, all the follow the science comments you got last year. How about this one? God gave you something called the brain. And in that brain, there's something called a prefrontal cortex, and that's the place in which you develop thoughts of consciousness. That's where you relate to things that are eternal. That's where you have that is related organically, if you will, when it comes to the matter of the brain, to things like conscience and the idea of God. And do you know what staring at a screen constantly does to that? It kills the brain cells. I can tell how much you love this message by how you're looking at me right now. And I'm just telling you, listen, the problem is whatever it is, maybe that's it, maybe that's not it, but whatever it is you are using to filter your reality, this is the reason I'm being a stickler about this just for a moment. I'll get off the bandwagon in a second is because of this. Because I see people come to church, and when it comes to the things of God and things that should excite a believer, things that are eternal in nature, it's almost like nothing's happening up here. And then you get on, oh, look at that reel. Look at that reel. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. You know what you've done? You have literally spent your emotions on stuff that isn't real. You're living in candy land, people. Then you get into the church, and the preacher starts telling you stuff that's from the Bible, and you're like, I don't get what his problem is. Can I give you some sobering things that you ought to care about our young people? Amen. Enough to not be so selfish that you think you can do things as an adult that will not affect them. Yes. 27% of teens receive sexting messages. That's a quarter of teenagers in America. And I don't want to be uncomfortable, but I guarantee you it's happened to some kids in our church. No big deal, huh? You know what? Some of you would freak out if I came to church and I was waving a gun around. Right? You probably should. I get it. I understand. But I remember one time we had some of the young guys over, and we did it safely. We did it right, and we did a little practicing, and they're like, bro, is that a real gun? I'm like, yes, it's a real gun. You know? But it's like this, ooh, what is that? Hey, can I tell you, there's something a whole lot more dangerous than all your kids are walking around with. You know what the numbers are? See, some of you don't do research. If you knew what the numbers were on kids that get kidnapped and kids that are assaulted in a certain way, you understand what I'm saying? And kids that are taken in a certain kind of traffic, are you with me so far? All right? The numbers are astronomical compared to kids that get hurt with this. That's right. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they watch, you know what, once a month. 68% of divorces involve one party meeting a new lover online. You don't think this stuff is affecting us? Now, you're talking to a guy that has a church. We have a church Instagram page, a church Facebook. I didn't say burn the whole thing. I didn't say burn it to the ground. But I'm telling you, you better be careful. That's not your filter. Proverbs 27 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We suffer from an overabundance of cheap substitutes and a lack of experiencing the genuine God of the Bible. Teens, remember camp? It was like so long ago, wasn't it? So last week. But it feels like a long, doesn't, Gage, doesn't it feel like a long time ago? I mean, it kind of does, right? You kind of get back to the normal things of life, and it's kind of like, you know, like, oh, well, that was like so long ago. It was like far away land. It was a week ago, less than a week ago. We were over there in Idaho, you know, and you know, running around the woods and jumping in the water and getting thrown off tubes and whatever else. You say, why does it feel so long ago? I'll tell you why, because for 5 days straight, you got nothing but the Bible. That was your filter. Filters are not always bad. But have you ever let a filter get clogged up? You ever done that with a vacuum cleaner? And like, you're like, man, this, as I'm vacuuming, it doesn't smell fresh. It smells like mildew, right? And like, why does it smell like that? I mean, it looks like it's collecting stuff, but it just stinks. Have you ever had an air filter in a car? Have a squirrel go in there and die? Then you're like, whoo, smells like chicken. Remember the Caleb chicken? He said chicken was plentiful in South Africa. Smells like chicken. It does not smell like chicken. It smells disgusting and vile. And the very thing that's there to catch that becomes the odor itself. It's awful. You take the air filter and you go, oh. Have you ever, listen, I'll never forget one time I had the HVAC people come over. And don't laugh. Be quiet. So I'm going to do this right now, okay? I'm going to get ahead of myself. I know where his mind's at. He knows where I'm going. So I'm beating him to it by saying, don't laugh. Now he's laughing. The HVAC guy comes over, and, you know, he's checking everything outside. And he goes, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He goes, when's the last time you changed the filter? I'm like, changed the filter. Hey, do we have a filter? Where's that at, you know? And he comes and he pulls the thing out, and it's got like 10 inches of dust on it. He's like, this is your problem. You know what I'm going to tell you tonight? That's your problem. Your filter's clogged. Listen, there's a place for I will give you the greatest filter you could have for experiencing God is this one right here. Because when you don't use this one, whatever it is that you are using is going to get clogged. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get tainted by you. Remember when we first got married, we couldn't afford coffee filters. I thought paper towel will work. Now, if you get like the cheapo Cuban communist paper towels, it will because it's super thin, right? But if you get like Bounty or something like that, you know what's going to happen? It is not filtering like it should. And you will find a blessed overflow at your coffee pot coming from the top, not into the pot itself. You say, what is it? You can use the wrong filter where something needs a filter and it doesn't do the right job and it still makes a big mess of everything. Filters are not bad, but there's only one I can think of that actually works for experiencing God. Amen. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Got just a couple thoughts for you tonight. And that is preacher speak for we're going to be here for 2 hours. I want to experience God unfiltered. I'm tired of limiting God. I'm tired of going, well, God couldn't. I don't know that. You know what limits that? My unbelief. I'm tired of putting God in the box that the Bible does. Listen, you know what I'll tell you? God does not mind being in the box that he made for himself. You say, what is that? You go, that sounds blasphemous. No, you got to understand. The Bible says he has magnified his own word above his name. He will live by the things that are found in that book. That is his nature. He has no problem sticking to that because that reflects who he is. But when I put my own filter on who God's supposed to be in my life, then I get into trouble. One of the greatest things that happens is I never get to experience who God really is supposed to be in my life. I'll tell you this much. Number one, you can experience God unfiltered when the king dies. Look, if you would, at verse number one. Can I point out that it mentions King Uzziah dying before he ever sees God? Can I say this? You've got a king reigning inside of you, and his name is Jesus Christ. But you've got another king reigning inside of you, and it's called your flesh. And I told the kids a story. This is not my own story to tell. It's a Bible narrative about David. And you look at the life of David and you see a man that loved God, that followed God. You see a man that stuck up for those that could not fight for themselves. You see everything that a man looks at another man that's a leader and goes, I want to be that guy. David was that man. David's the guy that sticks up for the little guy. David's the guy that runs by faith toward the giant and kills the giant and cuts his head off and says, you will not defy the armies of the living God. That's David. David's the guy that when he has a chance to kill someone who's trying to harm him, he doesn't do it. When he has a chance to eradicate Saul and start his own kingdom, can I remind you? He's anointed the king in 1 Samuel 16 as a young man. He kills the giant in the next chapter. It is another several chapters of his life before he gets on that throne. You know why? Because David says, I am not going to touch the Lord's anointed. God put Saul in that position, and even though he's hurt me, and he's thrown javelins at me, and he's been wicked, I'm not going to take his life. That was David. That's a good man. Then you have the David that sees a woman on the roof, takes her, tries to get her husband drunk to convince him and send him home with her to convince everyone that it's his baby. When that doesn't work, he has the man killed and tries to bury it. Well, which one's the real David? You know what the real answer is? None of you are going to like this. Both. Both. I look at it and I go, when will the real David show up? They both did. Can I say this? As long, and I told the kids the same thing, you've got one throne and two kings. You better make sure the right king's on the throne. Can I point out in verse number one that the Bible says the Lord was sitting upon what? A throne. You know what that means? He wasn't playing. What is the game you do when you walk around and they do, what is it? Musical chairs, and the music stops and everybody tries to steal a spot, you know? And I'll tell you what, we played this at summer camp before where it was Home Depot buckets. And I'm going to tell you right now, the girls are way more vicious than the guys are. Absolutely. They pull hair. They are biting. They are doing whatever. It is scary. And all I can think of is, some of you guys are going to marry one of them. Do not cross them. They will defend themselves. But, you know, it's not like musical chairs where the music stopped. All right, I get the throne. I get to sit on the Home Depot bucket. I get to sit on the throne. Listen, there's only one person that belongs there. You say, well, how do I know if I'm on there? When you walk in the flesh, you're on the throne. When it takes very little to get you to ignite in rage, you're on the throne. Yep. When you are sarcastic and sharp with your family, you're on the throne. Yep. When you're rebellious against authority in your life, you're on the throne. When you refuse to control your impulses in your flesh, you're on the throne. When you find yourself going back to this is God's analogy of us going back to our own sin. It's like a dog licking up his vomit. And you find yourself, you go, that's disgusting. Why would you mention it? Because God did. Do you want God unfiltered or not? Amen. You know what amazes me? You will watch R-rated stuff in your house, and the preacher will say something about a dog licking up vomit. You're like, I just can't believe he said that from the pulpit. This is what I'm saying. I feel like I'm living in a cuckoo land. Because I've had people tell me, you know, you're too offensive. I'm like, I know what you're watching, and it is not nearly on the same level as what I can say from the pulpit. When those things are going on, you're on the throne. And you're not going to experience God like you should. I don't mean to pick on the young people, but camp was last week, and you made decisions. And you know what you found out? Everything that you were told was true. You get home, there's no one telling you to wake up, no one telling you to read your Bible, and it's harder. And you find someone trying to just slither onto that throne and basically do whatever it can to claw its way back to getting control of your life. Am I right? Some of you adults are like, I didn't go to camp. Yeah, but you deal with it every single day. You know, when the king gets out of the way, I want you to notice in verse 1, it's King Uzziah, is it not? That's his name. And when he dies, Isaiah gets to see the real king on the throne. Can I point out, Isaiah does not see any of this until that king is out of the way. You don't see God for who he is, and you will definitely not see yourself for who you are until you're off the throne. I told the kids, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. David was not a victim of circumstance. David was the king. David called the shots. And when David found himself in a mess, it's because David was calling the shots. And let me just say this to every single one of you, including the young people. You are the king of your own life. You decide what you allow God to do and what you don't allow God to do in your life. For some of you, that sounds blasphemous, like I'm saying you're more powerful than God. But what I'm saying is this: God does not override your will with his. God will say, here's the right way, here's what I expect, here's what I want, so we can be in fellowship, and so you can find out what I want for your life. But it's up to you. Well, you know what, I just kind of been sitting here so long, it's just kind of comfy. And you know, you ever been to church, where you walk in? I'm glad this is not, if this is our church, can someone please tell me so I can address it? But I've been to churches where you walk in and you go to sit down like, that's my chair. Seat's taken. Right? And you're like, I don't see your name on there. Right. You know, my family sat there for 47 years. I'm like, it looks like it. Listen, that's not, I hope that's, I don't believe that's the kind of church that we have. Can I say this? After a while, when you sit somewhere for a while, the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor what? Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you watch the digression there? It was walk, stand, sit. You know what the Lord wants you to understand? That's not yours to sit on. It's his. It's my family. No, it's his family. Well, it's my kid. No, those are his kids. It's my job. No, that's the job he gave you. And let me tell you something. He could just go like that and everything is gone. But you know what I want you to understand? Uzziah in the passage is not, it's kind of a weird deal. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. How many of you guys even know who Uzziah is? Some of you might know, some may not know. You know what you find out? Those old chronicle books, the ones you've avoided for 20 years of your Christian life. Because you get to 1 Chronicles, you're like, Lord, can you let me have a special dispensation and just read everything before and after this? And then, you know, you're like, does it still count, Lord, if I don't read Chronicles to say I read through my Bible from cover to cover? Lord, would you allow this? And the reason why is because, let's be honest, there's a lot of stuff in Chronicles we just don't really see the value in. But God put it there for a reason. 2 Chronicles 26, you want to learn who Uzziah is? Look, if you would, at verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. Look at verse 2. He built, he restored. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He went forth and he fought with the Philistines. All that's great stuff. And then look, if you would, at verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Can I just give you a little warning? Some of you think you're stronger than you are. You're not who you think you are. Do you understand? I'm not who I think I am. The Bible says in verse 19, something happened. He went from being a good guy to being angry. Anybody relate to that? Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you go. Yes, I want to go. I just wake up in a good mood. And God's good. And read my Bible. Everything's wonderful. And then something happens. See what happens? The other Uzziah shows up. You see what happened? He wasn't content with the place that God gave him. He wanted to be more. He wanted more than what God told him he needed to have. You read verse 18, do you realize what he did? He took on a role that he wasn't designed to take on. And he wants to offer up incense, and because he wants to take on more, I'm the king, I get to decide that, don't I? Okay. You see what happens? God gives him leprosy. And he has leprosy until the day he dies. Okay, so now do you know who Uzziah is?
Yes.
Good king, bad king, all wrapped into one. You say, who is that? That's you. The Bible says when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6 if you would. You ever feel like you lose yourself a little bit between Sunday and Wednesday?
Sure.
I don't believe God designed it to where you had to be at church 7 days a week in order to walk with him. I don't believe that. I think he gave us everything that we need in between to walk with him. But what happens is that other king likes to get on that throne, and because we're familiar with that king. Now listen, if it's someone else's king trying to get on that throne, we let them know. If it's my husband, I'm not letting him on that throne. If it's my wife trying to be a, you know, nag, she's not getting on the throne. My parents aren't going to tell me what to do. I'm joining the military. I'm kidding. I got her attention, though. That's not why she's joining, by the way. Someone else tries to get on there, we let them know it's not your place. But when the other version of us tries to get on there, we make room. I want you to notice in verse number 1, it results in a clear vision of the Lord. It happens when the king dies, but I want you to see, he gets to see some things he never saw before. He sees the Lord sitting on his throne. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. Can I ask you a question? What's at the top of your priority? What's most meaningful? What is most valuable? What is high and lifted up in your life? Is it another person? Is it a relationship? Is it a career? Is it your dreams? Is it your goals? Is it your money? Is it your retirement? What's high and lifted up there? Because whatever that is, that's God for you. I got my wife a cannoli yesterday. It was against her religion. Or her diet or something. And you got to admit, there's something about a cannoli that calls you. That creamy goodness. Right? That fried bread wafer folded like this. Right? With that glaze on that wafer, and that cream just oozes out with the chocolate chips sitting there at the end. Is anybody hungry yet? And listen, if you don't like cannolis, just keep it to yourself, okay? Something beautiful about that thing. And there's something, listen, if you like something, let me say it like this, you want more of it. So like, if you like nacho cheese, Right? I don't know. It's not Joe cheese, that's for sure. I know that. Listen, if you like something, you want more of it. You want to get full of it. Tonight, I told my wife, they're at Qdoba. I said, I'm not hungry. I can't eat before I preach. I got there. I said, well, I'll just get a nacho. And I looked at the calorie count. I said, well, no, I should probably get tacos. That's better. And I said, I'll just eat one. They come in threes, though. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. And so I ate the one, and I'm like, well, there's two that are lonely there. They're sitting. Should probably do something about that. And then by the time I got to the last one, it was like literally looking at me going, eat me. I wanted more of it. You say, why? I liked it. And I got to be honest with you, I was probably full after the second taco. But I got fuller. Man, can you imagine just being full of God? And you look up and you see the fullness of the presence of God. And someone who doesn't know the Lord, who's not walking with the Lord, they see you ranting and raving about the fullness of God. And they're like, I don't see it. You ever seen one of those things, that, like at the kids' museum, they have this thing where you look at it, and it's like a pattern within a pattern, and you stare at it, and like after a while, you're like, mine does this, right? And your eyes are, and then you're like, oh yeah, I see the bird. I've never seen any of those things. I can't stand those, because I'll have my kids go, oh yeah, isn't that awesome? Look at that. It's an airplane. I'm like, doesn't ever make sense to me. Can I say this? When the world sees you just in the presence of God, that's how they feel. When's the last time you made someone feel that way? Just because you were full of God. Hey, young people, you can have that too. There's nowhere in the Bible, it's like when you turn 21 or 30 and your life is a mess, then you can have God again. You can be full with the presence of God right now. And let me say this, I'm thankful for camp. I'm thankful for things like that. But God did not design you to live in Northern Idaho. At least not you guys anyways. You know what I'm getting at? You can have that in your own life. But kind of like you go for the third taco, kind of like I just don't want to quit turning. I just don't want to quit talking to him. I don't want to quit thinking about him. When I go to work, I don't want to quit talking about him. I don't want the other king on the throne. I don't see him when I'm there. I can't see things right. I don't get to see him high and lifted up. I don't get to see him on the throne. I don't get to see him fill anything in my life. I kind of like that version more. I need to get the old king out of the way, and I just want to see a clear vision of who God is in my life. I relate to Zacchaeus. Last night, my company had this dinner, and so I got all spiffed up, you know. My wife got all pretty and all dolled up, and we go, and it's picture time. And so I looked at her. I said, hey, babe, it's time for a picture. And she very graciously took her shoes off and stood barefoot next to her husband so that we could be the same. I relate to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, right? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You know what the Bible says in Luke 19? You know why some of you don't see God? Too many people in the way. You're looking at people at church. You're looking at people in the world. You're looking at what this person says on Facebook. You're looking at what your family has to say about it. You're looking at what your ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or whatever the person in your life that's still hanging around, you're wondering about what they think about it. You need to dump all that stuff right now. You'll never see God for who he is if you're constantly looking at people. Do you understand what we are? We are a fallen version of the real thing. You're never going to just see God through people exclusively. I am thankful for the people of God. I'm thankful that I can see love and charity and grace, as Miss Cindy is talking about. That's awesome. Brother Sean talking about people that have just gotten saved this year. Do you know what that does for your pastor, by the way? To see people that just got saved this year out at the fair, witnessing and preaching the gospel, that's awesome. Man, you almost got that Muslim converted. You know how he did it? Brother Ben's like, in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you what, as wonderful as you guys are, I can't just look at you and see God. Not the fullness of God. I have to learn to take my attention off you. You know why some of you can't get anything out of your Bible and out of church and out of your relationship with God? Because you're looking at people.
Right.
And people are not God.
There
are moments when we can be a glorious reflection of him, and I thank God for those moments. But I'm telling you right now, there's people that are not in church tonight. You know why? Because someone, somewhere in some church, whether it was here or somewhere else, some Christian did something that got them off track, because to them, the people were God. They have no relationship with God. They don't get in their Bibles. They don't know what it's like to have a sweet hour of prayer. So when a Christian does something that hurts them, that's God hurting them. Do you understand? You need your own relationship with Him. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to see Him. Can I say this? I want to hear Him. You know what I hear oftentimes when I'm in traffic? Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and there's someone in there, God help them, in that car, jarring their brain with decibels that God never intended. It's almost like, do you guys realize what they did to Manuel Noriega? Anybody remember that? Do you know what our army did to him? They didn't shoot him out. They blared rock music. You say, why? Because it should be enough to drive you crazy. I remember when I was a kid. I went through this stuff. I went through the phases where, Miss Jack, you might remember, we played around with subwoofers in your brother's car. And you put the subwoofers in the car. You know what we're surrounded by all the time? Noise. You know why you don't hear from God often? What are you putting in your ears? And I told the young people this. I'm going to tell you the same thing as adults. When you are hungry, you find a way to eat. Yeah. I've had so many Christians go, preacher, you talk about music and how it's so powerful and how some music's not good for us. I just don't know where I can find good music. Maybe the 92% of the time you're online, find some. I mean, if you want to find something, you will. What I'm getting at is this, so much of what's coming in here is not God. Do you realize why some people are on edge all the time? Because they watch the news 24/7. And I don't care if it's fair and balanced or if it's the communist news network. It doesn't matter. Which side you're on with that, if you are constantly learning about who's getting shot and who's, you know, the dirty politician who stole money and who did this and those people over there, they're bad. You know what you're going to be like all the time? You know why? Because you're putting stuff in here and in here that you're not meant to handle all the time like that. And you go, man, I just don't know why I don't hear from God. Maybe because there's too much noise, too much clutter. I'm trying to be as gentle as I can, but it's really hard. Some of you say things like this with your kids around. I just didn't get to read my Bible today. And they see you scroll. They see me scrolling, right? And you just, yeah, yeah. And you don't have time to read your Bible. Amen. You're lying to yourself and to them and to God. And you wonder why you're not hearing from God. This is why. There's no magic pill. Listen, I use the illustration. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and I said, I'm not calling, when Brother Spurgeon comes, I'm not calling in a revival meeting. I hate the idea that to have revival, you pay someone to come and preach the Bible to you for 4 or 5 days, and that somehow means revival. You should have revival on your own. Amen. The God that is here is at your house, found in the pages of this book. Amen. He's the one that wants to speak to you directly and revive that which is dead. Man, that conscience that is seared, He wants to bring that to life. That desire to see people get saved, He wants to bring that to life. Can I tell you, the only way to do it is to hear from Him. Amen. He did. See what happened? Look at verse 3. You say, oh, that's the seraphim flying through the air. Yeah, but what are they talking about? I can tell you this. They're not talking about hashtag free Britney. How does that even become something you talk about? I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Like, how does that become something that you actually engage in? I just think that her conservatorship is outdated. Your neighbors are going to hell. And your family's going to hell. And you got people all around you, and you're talking about, you know why? Because you are being programmed because of what you're listening to. I've had people say, oh, if you go to one of those churches where they're Bible thumping, you're going to get brainwashed. You might need a little bit of that.
Right.
You're getting washed by something. You might as well get washed by the Bible. Can I say this? When I experience God without a filter, I get to clearly hear from him. There's nothing, let me tell you, there's nothing worse than being out of fellowship with God as a preacher. Because you go, huh, what am I going to preach about? Well, that guy's a jerk. That always works. I can preach about that. And that person rubbed me the wrong way. I could preach about that. Hey, Lord, you got anything? Well, I wanted to give you something, but there's just too much noise. See, he talks in a still small voice. And when you've got the stuff thumping in your head and the opinions of others and your own voice telling you who God is supposed to be, and your own voice saying things that contradict the Bible, like God will never forgive you for that, and God will never use you, and God will never do this, and God, you say, what is that? Those aren't from God.
Right.
And those voices, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not pretty enough. God, help our young ladies. As a dad of young girls, I am burdened for them. You guys are on your own. I care less. I'm just kidding. I don't. You know what they're constantly told? You're not good enough. Oh, no one tells them that. They just 24/7 see images of what's perfected beauty online. And by the way, can I give you this? They're not. Have you ever seen them with their makeup off?
Yeah.
Or with the fake eyelashes off?
Yeah.
Or without, you know, putting on certain pants that accentuate certain parts of the body? I mean, if you don't do that, it's not looking like the same package. And the problem is, though, we're listening to too many voices.
That's right.
Can't hear from God. I like verse 4. You say, why? Stuff starts to move. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may bother some of you. But the older I get, I really hope there's an older person that backs me up on this. The older I get, when I don't have my cup of coffee from my coffee maker and sleep in my bed and have my eating routine and my water drinking routine, if something's off, can I just... Things don't move the same. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Can I get a witness? They don't move. Can I say what... You know what the problem is with some of you? There's an old song that says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. Like a tree planted by... That's a good kind of resolution there. Like, I'm not moving because God planted me here. That's good. There's another kind that stands and says, I'm done. I'm not moving from here. I will not yield. The Bible says when the fullness of God is experienced unfiltered, it allows praise and glory to fill our presence, and by that filling our presence, things start to shake that haven't moved in a long time. The posts of the door were shaken, the Bible says. You know what you need in your life? You need to get things. Some of you are spiritually constipated. Yeah. You need to take some spiritual Maalox. I know, some are like organic, and like, no, it's like elderberry or whatever it is. That doesn't matter, all right? Elderberry's the wrong thing. That's for colds, right? Well, whatever thing you, that doesn't matter. It's immaterial. Can I say this? When God starts to move, it's kind of scary. It is.
It is.
You know what's scary for a young person to do when they've never done it before? Give up their phone for a week. I will also tell you, parents, some of them have said, I wish I didn't have to go back to it.
Yeah.
got a solution for you. You don't. Some of you are like laser eyes right now. I get it. But you know what's scary? When God says, I don't want you around those people, move.
Yeah.
Maybe God wants you to move from a relationship or a habit, from your sin. Guys, I'm telling you, I grow weary of Christians just not caring about sin. Like, it's no big deal. It's a big deal to God. You know what's scary when you are not... Two years ago, three years ago... I don't mean to be funny when I say this, but I've met people that they take pills for a lot of different things. I'm not that guy, and I'll tell you why. And that's not because I'm spiritual, because I literally can't handle it. They gave me Tramadol. Yeah, because I had an ear infection, my eardrum ruptured. Anybody remember that?
Yep. Yeah.
I was leading music, and I was like, Oh, by the way, that I was just doing right there, that was without Tramadol. That was just the eardrum that had ruptured, and I had lost, I couldn't tell if I was coming or going. I couldn't hear the piano. Everything sounded weird. Everything was moving funny. They gave me a Tramadol to deal with the pain. I took a half of a tablet. Half. And and I threw up the rest of the night at my company Christmas party. I'm supposed to give a speech, and like, where'd Adrian go? You know what I don't like? I don't like feeling like I'm out of control.
Right.
I don't like that. I don't know why some of you like getting drunk. That'd be a really bad way to live life. But let me just say this. There's something weird that happens when you can tell. It's almost like out of body, like I don't have control of what's going on.
Right.
Can I apply something spiritually for just a moment? When you go, God, this is yours. It can cause anxiety in you because you want to control everything.
Yes.
And it's almost like, well, I don't, Lord, Ariana, I've probably driven her crazy when I say, hey, can you do this? And she's like, yeah, Dad. And she starts doing it. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, and she kind of missed the spot. And she, Dad, I got it. Okay, all right. You know, and you see what? Just, I need to control it. You know what we do with the Lord? Lord, I'll move it, but let me move it. There have been times when I leave a room. My wife is a good wife, and she likes a clean house. And I come back, and I can't find anything. And I'm upset because my stuff is gone. And she's like, no, it's clean now. I'm like, now it's lost. Because to her, it was a mess. But you know what I've learned to do? She has to do all this stuff and keeps the house. And if I have to go to my nightstand to find something versus on top of the nightstand, I can live with that. You know why? Because that's her job. That's what she wants to do to take care of our home. And so let me say this. The Lord moves some things around in your life like, I can't find it. The Lord's like, I know. I actually put it where it's supposed to be the whole time. It's no longer out in the open. Are you with me?
Right. Yes.
Now it's where it should be. The Lord wants to move some things in your life. Will you let him? Look, if you would, at verse 5. You know what I've learned? I've learned I'll never see me for who I am until I first come to see God for who he is. Can you get a hold of that order? He sees God, and then after he sees God, look at verse number 5. That's when you read the word then. You know why the then is there? To remind you he had to have something happen at first. And the thing that happened first was he saw God. Then you find, look at verse 5, the word I, the word me, I am, I dwell, mine eyes. Listen, none of the I and me and my happens first. It's all about God first. And now that I see God for who he is, then I'm looking in the mirror going, Man, you don't look the same. There's some wrinkles there that I didn't see before.
That's right.
Right? There's, man, there's some gray. Just for men, you should use that. See, when I don't look at the Lord, I feel fine about how I am. And when I look this way, I can point out all the inconsistencies in you. But after I meet with God, I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about me and Him. And I go, I'm undone. My lips are unclean. My mind is defiled. My heart is hard. My hands are filthy. My feet have carried me to places I shouldn't go. There's that noise. 6 blocks away! Do you understand what I'm saying about you seeing you for who you are? I've learned this. When someone comes to this church and all they do is badmouth the other preachers they've known, I know I'm next. And I know I'm dealing with someone that is an expert on everyone else's filthiness. And they never come to a place where they say, I am undone. Man, I know this. The closer I get to Jesus Christ, the more I see the blemishes. The more I see the inconsistencies. You know, I can do one of two things when that happens. I can do what a lot of Christians do and start pointing outward. Yeah, but I'm not as bad as them, and I didn't go all the way as far as they did, and I didn't do it, and look at me, I'm not like that. Can I say this? If you're keeping track, you may or may not have been able to, because I didn't do a good job explaining all the points, but this is number 5. Been doing this for a couple years, I should be better by now, but experiencing God unfiltered results in desiring purity.
Right.
Do you desire holiness? I mean, to be clean. I was watching something the other day. I was sitting with my wife. And I think I may have seen it before, but there was something about it. And I just said, They may laugh at this. Something inside of me is not laughing. It is grieved. It is heavy. You say, why? It's unclean. I want God to touch my lips. You see, in the passage, God goes, I can take care of that unclean lips. I can take care of that. Then he brings a coal, fire, and drops it in there. I'm like, God, is there another way to do that? Because this feels painful. This is uncomfortable. Can I say this? If you were the dirty t-shirt or the dirty underwear in the washing machine, you would scream every time you are thrown into that cycle. Right? Aren't you glad when it's done?
Yes.
It's not comfortable. Can I say this? You want to be clean? It's not comfortable.
That's right.
Oh, man, I want purity. The world is filthy. Known too many Christians that have gotten to where being dirty doesn't bother them. I don't mean to be mean, but every year at camp, there's always at least one kid who you know is not taking showers. Don't worry, it wasn't in our group. We have Latino girls and boys. They like to smell very good. But you're out there playing the game, and then this guy runs by, and you're like, and I'm not going to be, try not to be mean, but there was a few young ladies that way, too. And I was like, you ever met those people like organic everything? And if that's you, don't get offended, please, please, please. I know you don't want lead in your armpits. So you got Uncle Ben's, you know, organic whatever there, and I'm telling you, it ain't doing the job. So some kid runs by with their arms up, and you're like, phew. Now, if you try to tell that kid something's wrong, they're going to look at you like, what do you mean? They don't know anything. It just smells like it smells. You get in a cabin like that, and that does not get out of your clothes right away. It's happened to, I like to smell good, but it has happened to me before. I pull something out of my suitcase from camp, I'm like, that wasn't me. You know what I'm trying to say? You think your stink is your stink, but it isn't just your stink.
Amen.
I want to be more pure. I want our kids to be more pure. I want our church to be a clean place.
Amen.
Isaiah, for whatever reason, I think I know what it is. After he meets and experiences God, he says, there's something wrong with me. And it's not my preacher. It's not my deacon. It's not my spouse. It's me. You see, God was there the whole time, but I couldn't see him until someone else got out of the way. And I was dirty the whole time, but I couldn't see that until I saw God. If you would, at verse 8, and we'll be done. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. I love this. Can you imagine hearing a private conversation between God? You say between God and who? God. God talking with God. How about this one? Let us make man in our image. Who's talking? God. Who is he talking to? God. Who's talking to verse 8? God. Who is he talking to? God. Whom shall I send and who will go for who? And Isaiah's like, man, I'm picking up something here. I've never picked it up before. I know some people that get like those CB scanner apps on their phone. They're like, man, do you hear that? Them police in Arvada is doing something. I got to hear you listen to that. You got nothing better to do than to listen to CB scanners, you know? But can you imagine going, I'm hearing the Lord. And he hears something he has not. Listen, I need you to get a hold of this. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. We're almost done. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Look at verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Look at chapter number 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Look at chapter number 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Look, if you would, at chapter number 4. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Look at chapter number 5, verse number 1. It's all about other people. But something happens in chapter 6 where he starts to see himself in light of who God is. Is it making any sense? In verse number 8 of chapter 6, Isaiah gets to know what God's plan is for him. You want to know God's plan for you? It doesn't happen unless you experience God without a filter. Some of you have the filter of sin. You know, that just, didn't that just sound old-timey? Some of you have the filter of sin. Some of you are like, man, was this guy from the 1800s? I don't know. I got a book that's 400 years old, and it still seems like it's true. Some of it's the filter of self. You imagine God based on you. Can we just take a trip down a certain lane? Have you ever done this? Don't raise your hand. When things are going bad, circumstances, God must hate me and be angry with me. And when things are going good, God must love me and he's showering his blessings. Can I tell you, that's how a pagan thinks. You know what that is? That is an image of God with the filter of self. How about the filter of the spirit of this world? You know what? I don't see what the big deal is. I can do it if I want to. I've got liberty. The spirit of our age. You know what the job of a Christian is? Find out what the spirit of the age is and go against it. Not go with it. About the filter of other people. I'll close with this thought. The author of Hebrews. Could be Paul. You want to split a church? Come up with who wrote Hebrews. You got one half that goes, it could never have been Paul. You got another half like, it absolutely was. Then you got, I know this is bad math. You got another half, all right? Sorry, bad math. Some of you are like, I don't see what the problem is. You need to go back to school. You got another half that says, I don't know and I don't care. I just know that it's in the book and I believe it. Amen? Amen. You know what he says? He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know why you're not experiencing God, some of you? You got your eyes everywhere else. My dad taught me when I first learned to drive. I remember I was looking behind me. Por el amor de Dios, hijo mío. Look straight. Okay, Dad. All right. I look back. And you know what happened? I kept looking back. And you may remember Whitefield Park, right? Whitefield Park. There's a turnoff. I can't remember the name of the road that went into our neighborhood. Then you take a left up a hill. You take another left. Then you go down a hill on the Raymar Drive where I live. And we're turning to Whitefield Park. Well, here's the problem. I kept looking back. And my dad goes, that's the turn. I took the turn at 20 miles an hour. Almost flipped the 1987 Dodge Caravan. You know why? I kept looking back. I remember when you took us to South America and we drove to Florida. And I remember one of the challenges I just started to drive was there's semi-trucks on the interstates. And it's funny because looking back on it, now I've got teenagers and they go, oh, there's a semi. I'm like, you'll be fine, you know. And I remember driving in the left lane and I'd look over. And as I'd look over, I'd go, what are you doing, young man? Something like that. I don't remember what she said. Whatever it was she said, it scared me. You can look this way. And you can look that way. And you can get pulled in a lot of different directions like some of you have this week already. And you know what's missing? God. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. If the Lord's spoken to you, don't do the religious thing. Don't wait till the third stanza of Just As I Am or whatever's playing. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Come to a place where you go, God, I want you. I want more of you. I want to see you. I want to see less of other people. God, I want to be clean. I want to know your plan for my life. God, I want to experience the fullness of you unfiltered. It's amazing how much we talk about unfiltered and cops unfiltered and this unfiltered. The world does not want God unfiltered, but you should. You should. You're his child. Get the filter of self out of the way and the filter of sin out of the way. And the filter of the spirit of this age out of the way. God, help us to desire more of you and less of ourselves. He talks about the Lord filling the temple. You might remember in 1 Kings chapter 8 where Solomon's building the temple, and after the end of that temple has been built, the priests go in to minister and they go in to bring in the sacrifices, and the thickness of the presence of God, the smoke had filled that house. I would love for that to be what we feel like when we come to church. We can have that, but you know what it takes to have that at church corporately? To have it in our homes privately. To not live a different life at home and a different life at the job. In a different life out in your car, but to be who you are, the man or the woman of God, wherever you go, and to seek God's fullness. Unfiltered. God, take my perception out of the way. God, take my opinions out of the way. Take, God, my desires and what I think is best. God, if you want to move something, you move it. I'll tell you right now, there was a man that used to come to this church. He doesn't come anymore, but I was burdened for that guy. You say, why? I didn't see that guy move at an altar call. And I don't. You say, oh, you think you're just superficial and he has to move. No. You're going to tell me that for years you're in your Bible and nothing can ever move you? You can have emotions for a ball game. You can have emotions in your arguments at home. You can have emotions for your job, but nothing when it comes to the things of God? I don't buy it. Isaiah got something special that day. He got it because the old king was out of the way. Some of you need to get that old king out of the way. That's a weird passage. It really is. To mark the anniversary of someone's death as the moment when you get to see God for who he is. It's kind of weird. If you think about it, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See if there be some wicked way in me. To magnify thy name. I'm glad you came to church tonight. I hope you got something from the Word. Hope it stirred you. I hope you never look at Isaiah chapter 6 the same. And I really do hope you understand we can have what Isaiah had. You don't have to be an Old Testament prophet to experience that. You do need to be willing to allow Uzziah to die and allow God to fill what he should fill and move what he wants to move. And hear what he wants for you. Man, that's, I know this is not the best way to say this, so forgive me. It's kind of when the magic happens in the Christian life, though. When you get to see God and hear God and he starts to move. And I pray you experience that in your life this week. I really do. If I can ever help anybody in this room, whether you're a member of this church or not, I want you to know you can reach out. And I hope that you will. Love you. And thank you for being here tonight. You got something? Audible. Okay. All right, Audible it is.
From the church. The anniversary.
Come on up.